Following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana. An introduction to the psalm. How's that? Okay, all right. What is a psalm? I mean, before we get started, we want to at least have a handle on what we're talking about. Very good. One of the definitions for a psalm is a song. It's a song. It is also, though, just simply, it's praises. That's what it is. It was originally called the song, the Book of Praises. That's what it was. The Book of Praises. And then they just shortened it down, like people are naturally going to do, to songs, which was called praises. That's what they are. Generally, what are they used for? He said it a while ago, they're used for songs. They are the songbook of Israel. They're the prayer book of Israel. They're the praise book of Israel. And that's what we're going to talk about today and just kind of look through a starting point. All right. So, when was the last time you read a song? You two can't answer. One of them read it already. She told us last night. And then the other one there, he was reading it while we were getting started. Which is a good use of time. All right. So, when was the last time one of you read a psalm? Today, you might as well get ready, because if you don't answer me by the time we're through, I'll just simply start calling on only you. Huh? Last night. Good, good. What'd you read? I can't. Good for you. I can't always remember. I have to do exactly what you did. She turned back in her Bible. She read Psalm 6. Okay, anyone else? When's the last time you read a psalm? Well, now, you know what? I bet, though, you also have eaten several meals since then, and you may not even be able to place some of those. Is that right? Never apologize for not remembering what you read, but ask God to help you remember better next time. Ben? Friday morning. Wow, where'd you read a song? Hear a song read Friday morning. We met at Cracker Barrel. It was a good time of fellowship. I'm telling y'all, in fellowship with one, it's as good as fellowshipping with 100. Sometimes even better.
Last week.
Okay. Do you have any idea which one it was? Or what? Okay. All right. Anyone else? See a smile. You don't remember. That's fine. That's okay. Like I said, my beautiful wife in there, she takes care of me. She cooks fine meals. And if you ask me what I had for a particular meal during the week, I can't always remember. I get them mixed up. So, if it comes to you, though, you might tell us in a little bit. When you sit down to read a psalm, how do you go about choosing the psalm that you're going to read?
The date.
The date. So you have a schedule.
I may read chapter
16. Okay, alright. Anyone else want to share?
Yeah, sometimes I use the schedule
in
the back of the bulletin.
We have a bulletin, yes, okay. Alright. Sometimes I'll do mine as you did with the date, but what reminds me to go for that particular one. Because I know Wednesday night, Brother Rusty's going to introduce the lesson with the psalm, and then he's going to pray through that psalm. And I think if we know ahead of time what it's going to be like that, it'll do us much good if we read it first. And then it all seems to fall into place from the very beginning. So if you choose it like that, you didn't just open it up and, I'm going to read that one, right? Nobody did that? Just open it up and say, I'm going to read this one. You do that? Some people have done that in their lives many times. They want to find something that God wants to tell them, and they think that that is the way that you find out. That's what they do. They flip it open. So one of the reasons why we need to be more familiar with the Psalms is because this is one of the ways that God has spoken to the church from the first psalm that was ever written. And this is something that we always will benefit from it. That's how some of us have chosen. We've chosen because of the schedule, because we remember, because of our pastor. Point of this, then. What is a psalm that you can remember that you can tell us about? I love it. It's a team concept here. Okay, you want to pick one? That works. Yes. And? Oh, okay. Where did you listen to that? Wow. You think that might be one of the reasons why we have the Psalms today? Is because the Hebrews learned how to save things in their head by singing them? That's one of the ways that God gave us to learn. Singing praise to God just reinforces everything that we're doing the whole time that we're singing. If y'all think about it, can y'all bring up the church? Is it something you can just walk in with?
It's not Athens. It's like that.
Oh, okay.
Music. Like their album.
Okay.
I can, though.
Well, no, I can find it on iTunes if you'll tell me a little more about it. In fact, that actually segues very well into the next thing I want to make sure that you do understand. YouTube is not completely of the devil. There are things on it that are very helpful. And she mentioned iTunes. There are psalms sung on iTunes. But on YouTube, there's also a series of psalms that reach back to a couple of decades. People that have, well, no longer than that, 100 years or so. You can hear some of the songs sung. If you write English royalty, or just English psalms, the singing the psalms has been an important part of the English people, the British people. I mean, all over their kingdom, whenever they ruled so many places in the world, they sang the songs because they knew the Hebrews sang the songs and that these were songs of Zion. And so it helped them to do the same thing for Great Britain that it did for the Hebrews, and that is, it gave them a picture of God that was expansive, that was beautiful, that was majestic, and yet it still would hit you right in the heart. It would still hit you right in the head when something you need to think about. It would still reveal, as we came to know from this side of the cross, it would reveal the Messiah who eventually was manifest in the world as Jesus Christ himself. And so there are psalms that you can go on, just English psalms on YouTube, just start it like that. You can do that. If you want to go back further, you can go back to the Psalms of the 16th century, because most of those English Psalms are actually that old. They're Psalms of the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. They were used in the Middle Ages to help keep the civilization together. And that's what the Hebrews also found, that as they worshiped God together, as they sang together, read their scriptures together, recited the Psalms together and went through all of their feasts and things, no matter where Hebrews were gathered in the world, they could gather as one. They were recognizing each other as, you are the chosen people of God. And that's why we have Jews today, as dispersed as they had been. If they hadn't had something like the Torah, something like the prophets, and the poetic books and the history, if they didn't have all that to keep them together, they would have disappeared from the face of the earth. God used these things. Of course, we know that in his will they would not have, but this is what he used to keep everyone together as the people of God. So that's why the Christians then have gone right into following the step of the Hebrews. Whenever you start reading there, you're going to see some favorites. Everybody has favorite songs. Somebody have a favorite song?
Psalm
134. Would you open to 134? Yep, the 23rd is probably the one that is a favorite of all. Unfortunately, I think it's fading into the same area as Amazing Grace, where the whole world knows it, but they don't know it. They don't know the God of it. But you're right. That's a big one. 130. No, you were finding 134, right? Okay, read us the first couple of lines. Take your pick. Now, why would that attract you to that song? He knows you. That's something in the first psalm that is just marvelous. It winds up. That's the last part of it. He knows me. He knows me. Why? Okay, I was going to ask you. So, what's the big deal? Are you that popular that he knows you too, you know? No? It's because it's what you say at the end? And yet he... Yes, that's wonderful. That's one of the beautiful things about family. Family can take you back even though they hate everything that you stand for and have done. Difference between your family, though, and God is God, then he deals with us through things like these psalms. And he changes that heart. He transforms that soul so that we are something that that is manifesting the love of God within us. Someone else? Lisa, you said which one? 91. We'd open the first couple of lines of that one for us. What's the last couple of lines? Okay, this is something that I wanted you to see. When you find your favorites, a lot of times we'll memorize the first of the song. If you're not going to memorize the whole thing, jump to the end and at least memorize the first and the end, the beginning and the end. Because with the exception of two songs, no matter how terrible the psalm is dealing, things are that the psalmist is dealing with, he always brings it back to that there is a God in heaven and he is the God of our people. So it's a wonderful thing to not just have that intro, but the other. And I know many of you probably have memorized other psalms, entire psalms. We all know, I dare say, the 23rd psalm. How about another one? We're not gonna do this all day, but I do want you to have a chance. If you got one that you really like.
I was proud when they sent me, but it's going to the house of the Lord.
Very good. All right. I wish I could remember that one. I actually grew up knowing a song of that one, knowing the tune and everything. However, I know one similar to it. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Which does turn into a song. Do y'all know that one, anybody? Oh, you're going to hate this. I'm sorry, but I'm going to sing it anyway. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Now, that's one of the things that I like about the Psalms. Anybody can sing it in any key. And that's why I don't always ask the pianist to say, hit another for us, everybody. We've sung some of these things the last few days. You just kind of look at her and said, that song isn't that high. And she said, it was when we sang it in church, yes. So I put it in the man key and we sing it that way. I've told you before, some of them I just make up to. But that one right there, even that one, ties together with today's message from Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man. And so He has made me glad. That blessings are wrapped up in happiness, which are wrapped up in joy, which is wrapped up in the gladness of God's people. So as we go through these Psalms, we learn to relate them, don't we? When you read your favorite Psalm, does it sometimes point you to another one and you say, oh, or you'll see that center reference and it'll say C and you'll say, oh, wait a minute, how does it tie? And then you look at it. What? Oh, happy day. Yes, that's a good one. And there's another way that this works whenever you learn to memorize these, is the Psalm will tie you to the rest of the Bible, which is a wonderful characteristic of it. Because whenever you read the Scriptures, you will always, something will be brought to mind. This is what I'm saying. And God does not speak to us in the way that some poor deceived people think He does. But He does speak to every one of us through the Scripture. And sometimes you'll hear it, and it'll sound just like your daddy. Or he'll sound just like your mama. It's not them, but you're hearing something, a conversation maybe, that reminds you of that wonderful time. You know, my mother used to love the Psalms, and she had a song book of nothing but Psalms. Wish I could find it. I hadn't found it yet. But it ties us. So the Psalms gives us something that soon becomes a favorite, and then we put it in our soul by learning it well enough to either be able to read it, memorize it, or be able to speak from it. And then it takes you right into other parts of the Scriptures too. Yes, sir?
My favorite Psalm is
Psalm 8. Okay, would you like to read a little bit of that one? Wonderful. Now, y'all couldn't see that, but I'm going to tell on it. As he started out reading, then he started speaking from memory. And then he had a little part. Oh, wait. But what did he do? He didn't say, oh, I don't remember. No. He just looked down and saw what he saw and then he continued. And that's what we can do. It's a great reinforcement in it. Keep that Bible open in your lap. Memorize these things. Are you all familiar with this one, with that song, just comes to mind? I know you all have read it, but read the first two lines again. There you go. Now skip to the last couple of lines, maybe. And all right, now, why don't you go ahead and finish reading that one? You don't think you have very much left. Where does it? Yeah. I wanted you to finish reading that because one of the other things the Psalms does besides reveal more to us of God, who He is, and His way, it also gives us a chance to examine and understand who we are. Now, y'all, if you have a real problem with self-image like I do, if you have a self, just your appreciation of what your skills may actually be, or maybe some other things that counselors look at and say, I'll talk to you about that one day. This is one of the things that Psalms will do also. It tells us who you truly are. You've been made just a little lower than the angels. Now, we're not God. But you know what? You're in the image of God. So you've been created a little lower than the angels. You've got, now you said yours is heavenly beings in the ESV, I believe. It says you've been crowned with glory and honor. He's given you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the oxen, the livestock. You have a place in God's world. And I'm going to go over this probably a little bit this morning also again, so you'll just probably hear the same sentence. But if the generations, the last two or three generations, need to know anything at all, they need to know they have been created by God in His image, and they have been created as holy beings, and that we're broken by sin. So if we don't know that, if we don't understand that, if we don't feel that, that is the impetus to project us then to the Savior in the gospel. When you hear it, when you see it in people's lives, when you have someone that shares it with you. This generation has a high suicide rate. This generation has well, actually, they get very angry when they recognize people are better than they are financially, more stable than they are emotionally, that they are more they easily handle almost any situation. And this present generation, they just go all freaky about that, don't they? That's because the man, the double-minded man, is what? He is unstable in all his ways. If there's a generation that's ever needed the Psalms, and each of us have, every generation has needed the Psalms. But if there's ever a demonstrated need for the Psalms, it's preaching and teaching and singing of this book right here. Because this addresses everything. Martin Luther said, if you want to find it in the Bible, you're going to find it in Psalms. John Calvin said it's almost a plan for, it's a plan for the entirety of the soul. Because if it's in the Bible, you're going to find it also in Psalms. So, we have several then advantages to being brothers and sisters in Christ who can share these things. But when we go out, if we don't have to go out and preach them the gospel every time. Perhaps God is saying, share who I am. Speak of my way. Speak of who you are in Christ. And then these things will naturally work into the gospel. At other times, they'll naturally work into perhaps even the next time you have coffee with them. God does not say, go out and every time you speak, give them the entire plan of the gospel and I'll save them, or you can save them if I don't. I mean, there's just all kind of views of that, though, isn't there? But look at what's in the Psalms. Just in this small part that we reviewed here, that is a wonderful thing that you could share with your neighbor, that you could share with that guy around the... Well, there's not too many water coolers at work that we're allowed to gather around, but there are moments where you'll find people that are together and you don't even have to say the entire chapter. You know? Just what he was talking about, that you ever hear anybody say that we've been created by God just a little lower than the angels? Do you feel that way sometimes? Man, the conversation is going to be on from there, because they'll either agree with you or they're going to argue with you. One or the other. But it's an opportunity. So many of these things in the Psalms will give you those kinds of opportunities. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, now the greatest reason, though, simple, and this is something that we can always share, the greatest reason for reading the Psalms is because God is revealed in every page, in every chapter, and in every book of the Psalms. There's nowhere else in our civilization besides the Bible that you can be assured of that. But where can you find it quickly? I can't remember. Where is it in Isaiah? Well, you can find it in your favorite songs, and then you can go from there. And it's almost a cheat sheet at that point because there's center references, and you might say, oh, look what God has showed me. Oh, my goodness, I need to tell him this too. And all of a sudden, you have this Isaiah reference that you were looking for. When I say that it gives us a good picture of ourselves, what does that tell us? What am I saying? I mean, I went into a little biblical. What does it say? Hi! No, I don't think it is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that a whole lot of ways we haven't changed a whole lot
in the last 1,000 or 2,000 years. Morning. Come on in. Y'all come in. Glad to see y'all. We're going through the Psalms. Just kind of an introduction. And we're about to wind down here in just about 5 minutes. No, it's fine. We're so very glad to see you. It's an odd starting time, I think, but works for us. So thank y'all for coming. We'll meet you in just a few minutes. You were saying?
Just that, for one, it tells us that we haven't really changed.
Yeah.
Something written that long ago, what it says and what it's saying about people, then still considered.
Yeah, there's something about back in the old days that is devalued by so many. I know it has been for me. When I started teaching science, I realized I taught it for 28 years, but I was constantly amazed at how much arrogance there was in my own American mind, I guess, modern man's mind, that the further back you go in history, the dumber those people must have been. After all, didn't they start out with sticks and rocks? Yeah. But there's a tremendous amount of union that we share with folks of all ages. And it is number one, we're all born in sin. The Bible tells us that you've been they were conceived, they were born. In sin. We are. And I finally read something on that this past week that gave me a little better understanding, a grab on it anyway. It's not that the birth of people is sinful. It's not because my mother was a sinner. But it's because the very fact that I'm born into this world that is broken, that has rebelled against God, that has turned itself against all that is holy, I'm born in sin because I'm just like them. Now, we didn't go over this part a while ago because I've been trying to go over the positive aspects of it. But we also know that the Bible shows those dark sides of us through the Psalms. That's what I love about David. If David is feeling down, and I'm reading that part because I'm down. That's why it's appealing to me. If David is encountering darkness, it's because I'm walking through darkness, and God has led me to this. So, because when he's writing those Psalms, he comes to the end of those Psalms, like I told you. No matter what it's about to start with, God, the psalmist always brings us back to God is our refuge. God is our strength. God will receive. God will return. And so it gives us a glimpse of ourselves, both good and bad. But then it also gives us that glimpse of what God is transforming his people into one by one, by every nation, every color, and every place that you can find them. So, I had a pastor one time, his name was Don Holloway. He said that he always liked reading the Psalms because the Psalms will tell you who you are, and they give you everything you know about yourself, and they describe you warts and all. That's the truth, isn't it? But through your time spent in the Psalms, the Spirit of God brings you to that place of wholeness, righteousness, to where the transformation that was at your salvation. It wasn't just begun, but the spiritual transformation as a child of God is re-emphasized to you. It's that you're reminded of it. And then that continuous role of sanctification and holiness that God brings into our lives through the Scriptures, He has particularly done through the Psalms. I hope you enjoyed that today. I mean, I hope you're edified by what we talked about. I appreciate y'all's comments very much. And as we go, you might pray for the preacher today. We'll be preaching on Psalm 1. But we'll close now with a prayer. So if you'll bow your heads with me, please. Rudy, would you pray for us?
Sure. Lord, as always, we are thankful to be here today, worshiping, learning from your word. Thank you for Mr. Lamont preparing our class today, writing to know what kind of song. We pray that you bless him and preach us, and we'll hear from your word. Each one of us will hear what you are speaking to us as a body. We pray that our hearts are prepared to worship you in song, worship you in prayer, worship you in scripture reading, and hearing your word preached. That our hearts will be knit closer to you and towards each other through this worship together. And all these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. We have about 15 minutes.